Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, we're back, and let's go right to the phones. Joining us, as he does every week at this time, except when we're on a different station at a different time, Nate Zielinski. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
You know, I'm doing really well. Karen and I are down here in the New Orleans French Quarter, a block off Bourbon Street. We're going to a big concert with James Taylor and Jackson Browne tonight. But I make these sacrifices to make sure the show gets done. So I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I'm hanging in there.
I was in extremely single-digit temperatures this morning holding down the show for you here. So I think our situations are slightly different.
Oh, they're similar. The sacrifices we make are similar. Karen and I actually had to change the short sleeve shirts yesterday because it was too hot. All right.
Always a rough one.
You know what? Elk season is in full swing, and nobody keeps track of the animals or keeps our listeners more informed than you do. What's going on?
Absolutely, Terry. There's a lot going on. We got some fishing updates with ramp closures and that kind of thing, as well as big game. Well, let's start off with elk season. This is opening day of the first rifle season. This is an elk-only rifle season. It's a five-day hunt, and it is off with a bang. A lot of success this morning. We got down very cold this week. We had a couple of snowstorms. It got cold. And we approach and kind of look at this first rifle very much as a rut hunt. You know, the bulls are still breeding, they're chasing cows, they're bugling. It makes for an extremely successful hunt. We got cold, we got kind of nasty weather, and we were kind of worried that in some areas, you know, just certain regions of the state, that the bulls were going to leave the cows. From what I understand from the areas I've been scouting, I talked to, you know, our Colorado Parks and Wildlife regional officers across the state. It seemed like almost statewide those bulls held with their cows. It warmed up a little bit yesterday. And so far this morning, it seems like the success rate is absolutely through the roof. So hunters were able to take advantage of the vocalization of the elk, hear them bugle, move into good positions, and really create a lot of success this morning. So a lot of animals being harvested so far today. Now, with that being said, it's obviously region to region, animal to animal, but that cold front pushed them just enough to where they're, you know, somewhat slowly wrapping up the rut. I mean, the cows will, if they're not bred, they will continue to cycle for, I believe, 2 to 3 more cycles. So there's still always that opportunity of some breeding and some rutting. But for the most part, this is kind of coming to the end of that major rut phase. And as these rifles started sounding off this morning, I'm sure that's all it's going to take in some areas to kind of stop that rut activity. So, you know, if you have a lot of elk in one drainage or one small region of the mountain, when those guns start going off, it usually doesn't take the more mature bulls very long to realize that bugling and rutting and hanging out with the cows isn't necessarily the most safe place for them. So we do anticipate that bugling action slowing down. I wouldn't say it comes to a screeching halt, but over the next couple of days, you'll definitely see some slowing down of that. And that's kind of where we're at with that situation. But again, a lot of success. And honestly, the best thing for us was exactly what happened. Get some snow, get some cold, not enough to cover the grass where it caused a migration, not freezing enough to where it froze that snow solid to hurt the grass. So we saw no migration. We saw no change in their patterns, just cold enough to spend a little bit more time on their feet. So not as much time in the beds, fresh snow to track them. So really cold and warming up like this is the ideal situation. So awesome first rifle hunt. We'll see what happens over the next, you know, 4.5 days if the success rate continues and kind of what that harvest rate is. And then we have a long break before we get into what we consider our second rifle season. That's a combined season of elk and deer. We've talked about it, you know, a little bit, but the Division of Water, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, you know, they put together a structured season, you know, 5-year structure plan. And this year is the latest that we've ever gone with our seasons. Our fourth rifle season goes, I believe, until November 30th, which generally speaking, last year, you know, we were stopping, you know, in the low 20s. So the fact that we're hunting that late in November is just an ideal situation. So second rifles later, third rifles later, fourth extremely late. So we're excited about it. We're the hunters that are hunting elk in migration zones are going to have a great year. The mule deer hunters were finally, you know, for the first time, honestly, in about as long as I can remember since I started hunting, you know, as a kid, are we going to have a true rut rifle hunt? So much going on in the hunting world, Terry. It's great to see. And really, this is the kind of the kickoff of the rifle season.
That's right. Before we move on to see some ram closures, I'm pretty sure I know what you want to talk about. Hey, you mentioned that these elk are going to get alerted to the sound of the rifles. Now, if I'm a hunter, I'm sitting in my car right now having lunch. I just came back in from the field. I'm going back out. Do I really need to be really ramping down on how vocal I am and really being careful? Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely, Terry. So, you know, you are hoping in a morning situation, afternoon session, you know, you're waiting until those peak times. So in the afternoon, you know, it's not uncommon for these animals not to get out of their beds until 4 or 5 o'clock. So I don't call until then. I don't call until I know they're out of their beds. And I'm always hoping to hear them first. When I hear them first, you know, I'll just let them naturally talk and I'll just try to sneak into position. So I try not even to call. And in a situation where I do try to start a conversation, I try to get them to, you know, to talk off to where I know where they're at. It is minimal. You know, with a rifle hunt, you're not trying to call them in. You're just trying to locate them, as opposed to archery and muzzleloader, where you actually try to draw them in. In a rifle hunt, it's just about getting them to make one sound so you know where they're at, and then you're getting yourself into position to make that shot. So very much the calling is very light. And then I think in the back of your head, you're thinking, if I'm in a situation that has a lot of hunting pressure, a lot of shots are getting taken, you know, what do these bulls do? And literally the herd bulls, the most mature bulls, will just get up and walk off the herd. From that point on, we go into an early post-rut stage, and it's literally a 10-day to 2-week time period that these bulls just recover from the rut. It's basically a relaxing time. So they pull themselves off of that. They spend a lot of time around cover. So whether it's aspen hillsides or oak brush hillsides or darker timber, they're not going to be out in those big open meadows. They're not going to be out way above tree line as much. They kind of hang closer to you know, again, we call it structure, but just some sort of safety, and they go independent. So if all of a sudden I find a group of cows that doesn't have a big bullet anymore, I'm looking, you know, slightly higher in elevation. I'm looking at the edges of the meadows, looking at smaller drainages, just anticipate as these bigger bulls leave the herds to where that's what they're going to do. They're going to go basically low key. So instead of, you know, power hunting through meadows and big open hillsides, I'm really going to sit down behind glass and I'm going to be checking every nook and cranny, because you're looking for an independent, you know, single animal opposed to a big herd. So more so, it's just good to have that in your head, that those things will start happening over the next week or so. So I really anticipate those mature bulls breaking off, and I start looking for those areas, start, you know, scouring those aspen hillsides where I normally would avoid that, or, you know, the oak brush hillside with darker timber. I'm not necessarily saying hike around through it, but sit up on a higher elevation peak and glass, you know, hundreds of yards or a mile into these pockets and just stare at them. And you're waiting to see, you know, slight movement from these bigger bulls and just to kind of clue off where they're at, and then put a plan together of how you're going to be successful on a harvest. But just anticipate, if those bulls are not talking and if you're no longer seen with cows, anticipate you're going to be in that early post rut, which is again that 10-day to 2-week period where they kind of just chill out a little bit. And again, if you know it's coming, you can prepare for it, you can start looking for it, and you can be ahead of it.
All right. Great information, Nate. Before we run out of time, I know you want to talk about some ramp closures. What you got?
Absolutely, Terry. Just a heartbreaker. I mean, obviously, our fisheries are managed as a fishery and as a water source. Probably the biggest one to talk about is Spinning Mountain Reservoir. We have been, it's been fishing good all fall, but we've really been waiting for a colder water temperature. So if you've been fishing Spinny, the fish have been kind of scattered across the lake. Literally up until last week, early last week, our water temperature was in the mid-50s. It takes that water to drop below 50 to really gather those fish in a tight group. So when those fish are scattered, you catch one here, catch one there, but building a pattern's tough. So, you know, in the previous weeks, we were having good days. We'd get 25, 30 fish, and then you'd have bad days where you'd work hard for 8 to 10 fish. It just kind of is what it is when that water's warm like that. We finally got that cold snap on Monday night, Tuesday. So I guided Monday. Fish were scattered, caught some fish, nothing banner. Super cold front Monday night and Tuesday. Wednesday, I got out there. My water temperature early in the morning was 44. peak of the day, I only warmed up to 49. The fish were gathered. We went from having an 8 to 10 fish day to having 131 fish day. So the bite just absolutely blew up. I mean, some of the best fishing. I think we had one situation where we did 21 casts with fish. Of the 131, did not have one fish under 20 inches, had six fish over 26 inches. So absolutely epic, but the water is falling. Spinney had a situation where they sold some water, and long story short, the water is lowering in or anticipating to lower more for the safety of all the anglers, trailers falling off the dock, getting stuck. Obviously, Spinney is a very windy place in the fall. So to deal with the boat dock situation, unfortunately, they closed to trailer boats on Wednesday evening. I know a lot of people did not get that message. You know, they did on their Facebook pages, sent on emails. They spread the word the best they could. We did the same. Regardless, I know a lot of people showed up this morning with boats to find the bad news, but Spinney now, it's still open to the public, just not the trailer boats. So you can shore fish, you can hand launch, but no trailer boats at Spinney. So that's more a public service announcement. But if you do have time to fish, now that that water is cold, fishing is absolutely world class. So definitely still a hot spot to fish. The fish are in shallow water. But again, closing that to trailer boats. And then also Terriol Reservoir announced that they are closed to boats as well. And that was as of Tuesday evening. So of the South Park fisheries, 11 Mile is still open. Trailer boats, everything's normal. And Taro is still open. Trailer boats, everything's good. Both of those should go to the end of the month. Terriol did go into their fall hours, which is 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. So they used to open up a lot earlier. Now they are in that fall time area, timing, I guess is what they call it. But either way, Antero's timing for A&S inspection is 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's kind of the information on boating up in the South Park area.
All right, my friend, if people want more information, book a trip or your events, how do they find you?
Absolutely. Just go to tightlineoutdoors.com. You can book trips. We got a ton of fishing still. We're doing Antero 11 Mile for trout, tiger, muskie, pike. We got a ton of walleye and smallmouth action in the Front Range. We got our ice addiction events coming up and everything else. So just go to tightlineoutdoors.com. Get a hold of us. We'd love to get you on the water.
All right. Great. Great as always to talk to you, Nate. Thanks for the updates.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Nate Zielinski, Tightline Outdoors. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to listen to JR from Colorado Clays tell us how to pick out what's the difference when you look at different shotguns and how you might determine which one is best for you. All that more on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.